All right, I want to show you all the exact moment an Austrian reporter catches Trump off guard and confronts him on his inability to end the war between Russia and Ukraine. In fact, Russian aggression has gotten much, much worse since Trump took office roughly 6 months ago, despite Trump claiming relentlessly that he would end this war within 24 hours. So this reporter calls us out, and Trump immediately gets defensive, immediately gets combative, and is now saying, you know, this is much harder than you all think. It's much harder than you think. No, dude, it's much harder than you think. You were saying that you would end this very quickly, and no matter how hard Marco Rubio and Pete Hegseth flank you and try to act tough, we know that you have no actual strategy. I mean, Pete Hegseth is back there scouring for the bar, seeing if there's a bar somewhere in the back of the room. Marco Rubio is like, I can't believe I've fallen so far down the MAGA rabbit hole. But before I play this clip of this Austrian reporter, let's start from the beginning, because Trump has had quite the morning, quite the night. After cursing up a storm on the lawn of the White House yesterday, he rode Air Force One to The Hague and continued to have a bad day as Iran and Israel continued to exchange missiles. Now, just to lay the groundwork here, this is Trump saying he would end the war with Ukraine in 24 hours.
I would fix that within 24 hours. And if I win, before I get into the office, I will have that war settled. 100% sure.
As president-elect, if I win this election, the first thing I'm going to do is call up Zelensky and call up President Putin, and I'm going to say, you got to make a deal. This is crazy.
I mean, I'm sure Biden tried that 100 times. The funny thing is, when Trump got into office, there were reports that he tried the exact same deal Biden tried like 3 years back, when the war first started. He didn't have a plan, and he was saying he would do this as president-elect in that video. The point is, not only has he not solved that war, but his promise of no new wars has been broken. I mean, here is J.D. Vance in this post saying, we will never ask you to go to war unless you absolutely have to. And then a few days later, Rachel Scott says, I spoke with President Trump briefly this morning. I asked him about the reports that Israel urged the Trump admin to join the war to eliminate the nuclear program. We're not involved. It's possible we could get involved. Spoiler alert, we got involved, and now it continues to escalate. As we learn, the nuclear program might not even be destroyed. So I've shown you that Trump has lied. He has absolutely lied about ending the war with Ukraine. I've shown you that Donald Trump has lied about no new wars. Now I want to show you this clip of him getting confronted. First, he said that he made a deal with Ukraine to take their land. Listen to this.
Nations, we cannot afford to be dependent on foreign adversaries for critical minerals. And as you know, we made a deal with Ukraine to take a vast amount of the land they have for minerals. We need it.
You did not make a deal with Ukraine to take a vast amount of their land. He made a mineral deal that overall just disproportionately benefits the United States and hurts Ukraine. Again, Trump has taken repeated steps not only to make this war worse, but to help protect Russia and hurt Ukraine. And to the Trump supporters who watch this, I see you guys in the comments. I'm not making that up. Trump genuinely takes steps to hurt Ukraine and help Russia. He admitted this. He said, what Vladimir Putin doesn't realize is that if it weren't for me, lots of really bad things would have already happened to Russia. And I mean really bad. He's playing with fire. This brings us on to this clip of Trump getting confronted by a reporter today. But really quickly, I want to make sure we're not getting totally distracted, because Trump said he wouldn't touch Medicare. Trump said he wouldn't touch the most vulnerable communities in America. But with Trump's so-called big, ugly bill threatening very ugly cuts to Medicare, it's more important than ever to make sure you're getting every benefit you're entitled to. I have a relative that recently turned 65, and we were shocked by the amount of scam Medicare calls, shady flyers, misleading ads, you name it, that she was flooded by. So here's the truth. It's hard to know who to trust, but I've done my research, and that's why I fully recommend Chapter. I wouldn't be working with them if I didn't think they genuinely would help you out if you need it. Listen, the call is entirely free. They give you a clear, honest plan for free. The advice is unbiased, and the average person working with Chapter saves $1,100, $1,100. So with Trump's big, ugly bill potentially cutting Medicare, make sure you call this number right here, 706-312-8635. If you're already on Medicare or you're about to turn 65, don't go at it alone. It's free, And it can be simple if you call 706-312-8635. To continue with the story, let's watch this clip.
Mr. President, Johannes Petra from Austrian National Television.
How are you?
You once said that you would end the Ukraine war in 24 hours. You later said you said that sarcastically.
Well, of course it was sarcastic.
But you've now been in office for 5 months. And
this was not sarcastic. I played for you the clip.
I would fix that within 24 hours.
That is not sarcastic. He is being serious. He's making a promise to the American people.
Sarcastically.
Well, of course it was sarcastic.
But you've now been in office for 5 months and 5 days. Why have you not been able to end the Ukraine war?
Because it's more difficult than people would have any idea. Vladimir Putin has been more difficult. Frankly, I had some problems with Zelensky. You may have read about him. And it's been more difficult than other wars. I mean, look, we just ended a war in 12 days that was simmering for 30 years, frankly. We ended Rwanda and the Congo. It's coming to sign the documents. We've already signed basic documents. But
they're signing the documents in 2 weeks, by the way. And Israel and Iran didn't actually reach a ceasefire. That wasn't real. They kept striking. But in 2 weeks, they will.
But they're coming, I think, to the White House on Friday. We ended, Serbia was going to go at it. But maybe the most important of all, India and Pakistan. And that wasn't whether or not they may someday have nukes like we're talking about in the Middle East, like we're talking about with Israel and Iran. This is they have nuclear weapons.
Dude, there's more to the clip, but when Trump says this is harder than any of you could have ever realized, no, we did realize how hard it was, and there's one solid strategy that you can take. Churchill took this strategy in World War II. He froze Hitler out of the global order. Not that Hitler was ever part of it, but he just wouldn't negotiate with him. He wouldn't talk to him. He wouldn't take him seriously whatsoever. And, I mean, Hitler killed himself. So, I mean, now history is repeating itself, and Vladimir Putin, as he tries to march through Eastern Europe, is now being let back into the global order by Trump after 4 years of being frozen out, or even longer than 4 years. He got kicked out of the G8 in 2014 and it turned to the G7 because Putin invaded Crimea. Putin is not somebody who is a good faith actor. It doesn't matter if he's in an alliance like the G7 or G8. He will still break these guardrails, break international law, invade countries. You cannot negotiate. You only use leverage through strength. This is literally peace through strength to a T. If you gave Ukraine a bunch of arms, not to just endlessly kill people, but you give them arms as leverage, so Russia eventually is like, oh shit, our whole country will collapse if we keep fighting this war, we have to back down. But now Russia's thinking, wait, if we just hold it off for one or two more months, Trump will tucker himself out and dip.
I ended that with a series of phone calls on trade. I said, look, if you're going to go fighting each other, it was getting very bad. You know how bad that last attack was. It was really bad. If you're going to go fighting each other, we're not doing any trade deal. No, you have to do a trade deal. I said, we're not doing any trade deal.
Why is this guy talking like an infant? What is he saying right now? No.
And in fact, I had the general, who was very impressive. The general from Pakistan was in my office last week. Prime Minister Modi is a great friend of mine. He's a great gentleman. He's a great man. And I got them to reason. I said, we're not doing a trade deal if you're going to fight. And if you're going to fight each other, we're not doing a trade deal. And you know what? They said, no, I want to do the trade deal. We stopped the nuclear war. Go ahead.
Lord have mercy. Then this reporter asks Trump about the NATO chief calling him daddy.
Go ahead. Back white. Yeah. White jacket. Yeah. Go ahead. Give my mic. Hello.
Deborah Haynes from Sky News. Mark Rutte, the NATO chief, who is your friend, he called you daddy earlier. Do you regard your NATO allies as kind of children?
No, he likes me. I think he likes me. If he doesn't, I'll let you know. I'll come back and I'll hit him hard, okay? No.
He did
it very affectionately. Daddy, you're my daddy.
Do you regard your NATO allies, though, as kind of like children in the...
This is getting very, very weird. Now, Mark Rutte, here's my theory. He's not a MAGA hardliner. He's not a MAGA sycophant. He's not a MAGA stooge that was installed into NATO. That's not what's happening here. He's trying to counter Vladimir Putin's pretty deceptive KGB tactics of using, affection or flattery. That's the word I'm looking for. Vladimir Putin relentlessly flatters Donald Trump in an attempt to court him and get him on his side. It's not the worst idea in the world, and it sucks that it's come to this because we have an idiot as a president, but it's not the worst idea in the world for somebody at NATO to be courting Trump and going, hey, look at these shiny dangly keys. Maybe you should not pull out of NATO. Please don't pull out of NATO. That's basically what I see happening here. And it's absolutely disgusting. Here is Pete Hegseth trying to cope with the fact that his strike failed. Look at how angry he is.
These fighters, these air defenders, the skill and the courage it took to go into enemy territory flying 36 hours on behalf of the American people and the world to take out a nuclear program is beyond what anyone in this audience can fathom. And then the instinct...
I'm sure they can fathom it. At the NATO summit, I'm sure.
The instinct of CNN, the instinct of the New York Times is to try to find a way to spin it for their own political reasons to try to hurt President Trump or our country.
Nobody was spinning it for their own political reasons, by the way. A Pentagon report from Pete Hegseth's own Pentagon came out and said the bases don't seem to be fully destroyed from a preliminary assessment, which means we might have to continue doing this in a few months, over and over and over.
They don't care what the troops think. They don't care what the world thinks. They want to spin it to try to make him look bad based on a leak. Of course, we've all seen plenty of leakers. And what do leakers do? They have agendas.
Bro, I'm not hearing Pete Hegseth talking about leakers. Dude, you're the one with the Signalgate leak that almost got our bombers killed on the Houthi strike. I'm going to leave it at that. If you appreciate the videos we do, make sure you drop a like. Make sure you subscribe. Chapter link is in the description below. Go check it out if you're 65 or about to be 65. Love you all. See you and peace out.